B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Look at me.
Look at me.
Fear me.
Fear me.
Respect me.
Respect me.
Respect me. Why? Because I shop at the Rogue House.
Rogue House. Rogue House.
The Rogue House Leather Dojo.
Leather Dojo.
This is James Stewart from 98.5 The Sports Hub. And if you want to look tough like me, Rogue House Leather Dojo is your one-stop shop for all your badass clothing needs. Want the newest from Ed Hardy? They got it. Want a bowling shirt covered in skulls? They got it. Want a belt buckle that says no fat chicks? They got it. Boots, vests, belts, martial arts, barrettes. They got it all at the Rogue House Leather Dojo. Fear me.
Fear me.
Fear me. The Rogue House Leather Dojo. It's everything you need to tell the world, hey, I'm a tough guy. What are you going to do about it? Downstairs is our award-winning martial arts dojo dungeon. Anything goes in the dungeon. It's mano a mano. No holds barred. Bare knuckle paradise. Want to fight? Bet you don't. No fat chicks.
Fat chicks. Fat chicks.
Hi. So get on your hog and wheel up to the Rogue House Leather and Martial Arts Dojo Dungeon in Wellsville. Take it from me, James Stewart from 98.5 The Sports Hub. One look at me, and you'll be like, no way, Jose, that's a tough guy. The Rogue House Leather Dojo.
Leather Dojo.
Want to fight? Bet you don't.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
A shirt with skulls on it. We got it. Leather whips, berets. That's my favorite one. You just pronounce berets. But then again, why not? Just throw berets in there. That is Jay Stu. When he first started working for the station, we wrote a fake commercial for him telling him he had an endorsement. And of course, it was the Rogue House Leather Dojo. So, oh, Jay Stu, we love you. 617-779-0985. It is Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray, we got him just sitting there in studio this morning, and I...
Even Joe Murray sitting there.
The reason I'm playing... John Wallach, of course. The reason that I'm playing that clip is because despite there being the return of sports, and for the past several days, it really just has been... It's been an amazing glut of entertainment. I mean, it's the fact that you've got NHL and NBA games all day long. You could turn on the TV in the afternoon and then you're watching actual sports that mean something is phenomenal. And then at night you turn on Red Sox games that mean nothing because nothing's going to happen there. But either way, you know, there's so much to watch. Yet for some weird reason, the Sports Hub Twitter is still obsessed with what's going on in the wrestling world. And they are very angry lately, Joe Murray.
Oh, yeah.
The Kowloon crew, very upset with the product in which the WWE has been delivering lately. As a matter of fact, from what I've been told, there was a special edition of Outside or Inside the Ropes, which is the Jay Stu and Sarge podcast, in which they screamed almost at top volume for nearly an hour about how poor the quality has become of the WWE. What is going wrong in wrestling land there, Joe Murray?
Well, I think the biggest issue is there's no fans, so a lot of the top talent isn't there. Roman Reigns was their best act. He's not there. A lot of other guys, Sami Zayn, you name it, just Brock Lesnar, they're not fighting, so the product's poor. But also, some of these wrestlers don't even know how to cater to the fans. So, like, you've probably seen it before. You know, a guy runs in the ring, he's going crazy, steps on the top ropes, puts his hands to the crowd. There's no crowd. I just feel like that's one issue. And the fact that they're not on the road consistently and trying to get better, the product's worse. And
so they haven't gotten good at that yet? Like, I mean, as I said, you know, the NBA figured out how to make this work without fans, and it used to. It doesn't feel like playoff basketball, but it feels pretty good. I mean, they got the fake sounds. Like the WWE hasn't figured out any sort of way to fix it from being as awkward as it was when the pandemic, because when it first started, it was really weird, dude. Admit it. I mean, the parts when they get in the ring and they stare at each other for a gratuitous amount of time, when the crowd is booing and stuff, that seems to work. But they didn't change the amount of time they would stare longingly into each other's eyes.
That's the best. I watched just for the entrance. And, you know, John Cena, and Cena, of course, doesn't do this now, but Cena, when he comes out there, right, he looks all the way on the left, and then he looks all the way on the right, and makes the mad dash and slides into the ring. Every wrestler is still doing that stuff,
and so
there's nobody there to cheer them. it's the best.
It's a little different now, but I will say this: you remember the Druids, right? The Druids.
That's what they're doing now. It came from the dark. They were the Dark Overlord Druids that attacked from behind. Who was it? Was the Undertaker?
The Undertaker's last match. Yes.
Yes, they were union card carrying Druids because they were operating heavy machinery as somebody was being buried alive. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life, and it was so dumb it was great. It was so dumb it was inspired.
Why is everyone like legit angry? Because I saw, Rich, I saw a lot of the same stuff you did. Hardcore wrestling fans just tweeting in all capitals.
So last night, I didn't watch the whole thing. I actually went to bed at an early hour, Rich, which is different. I've been trying to change up my routine here.
Is that what the problem was?
I went to bed at 10 o'clock. The show sucked. But what happened was Shane McMahon, who's the son of Vince McMahon, he's back. He's been gone for a while or whatever. And he came back last night and brought something in called WWE Underground, where they essentially had a fight club. And, like, they basically trying to change things up. Like, it was like underground fighting that were happening at WWE. And so they had, like, all these, like, nobody's around. Like, you know, it wasn't even in the ring. It was, like, in the basement of the place.
What is the difference between that and, like... Because I know that they went all crazy with a Boneyard match with Drew.
That was great. The Boneyard match was great. They just had another one called the a Swamp Match. So that's what they've been doing. They've been doing the cinematography stuff. That's just been very good.
Like crappy environments.
Yes.
You've been in a Boneyard. Now let's go to a swamp. And now let's just throw you in the middle of like a pile of pig slop. It's the pig slop match.
You're missing the point here. They want underground fighting, so they're fighting with no one watching. No one's watching the stuff in the ring. Why would they go somewhere else?
You're right. I think that's what happened, but... They thought they'd get a pop for Vince McMahon Shane McMahon being back. But from I read this a lot yesterday. I go, I've been told that the feeling is, you know, the SummerSlam was supposed to be in Boston. Everyone's pissed off about that because we're not getting it. Now WWE wants to host it at another place, possibly on a boat, is one of the ideas that they have. But they found somewhere, and they're not telling anybody. They want fans to be in attendance, but they don't know how yet.
Okay, hang on. If it's on a boat, I know that right now, Jay Stu and Andy Wong are planning some sort of flyover where they can parachute down and somehow get onto this glorious wrestler boat. I mean, that's like bare-knuckle paradise right there, right?
Right.
In the middle of all those dudes.
Yep. They should just talk to Dana White and have it on Fight Island. But, no, dude, last night it was bad. Whatever I watched last night was bad. The power kept going out. Like, they were trying to, like, set something up as, ooh, something's going on, the power keeps going out. But really, it was just this underground fighting thing that bombed. It was terrible. And I watched a little of it, but, yeah, I had people texting me. I was on a text chain with wrestling fans last night.
Okay, so, I mean, this is hysterical. I mean, just the fact that there's so much other stuff to watch right now. Like, I understand, you know, the wrestling thing during the pandemic because they kept going and they did it on sound stages. And John's right. I mean, the awkwardness of it was almost worth watching alone because they did nothing to change at all the dynamic of how they acted in the ring when there was no crowd there. And they've also done nothing to mimic there being a crowd. Not mimic, but compensate for their there being no crowd, where the NBA has, the NHL kind of did, but wrestling is just this awkward silence while they're fighting, and it's, to be quite honest, I'd almost rather have it that way. But most wrestling fans don't. They like that suspension of disbelief, obviously, because it's wrestling and it's fake and everything like that, and there's druids, so obviously they're not completely into buying that this is real in the first place. So why have they done nothing? I mean, say what you will about like the people who run, they're not dumb people.
Yeah, Vince has gotten this far by being incredibly smart.
Right. They're not dumb people, the people who run this. I mean, I've seen some of the fans who attend, but the people who like run it are not dumb. So like, I don't know how they, like everyone else seems to have figured things out. But wrestling has not, and I just, the passionate, the hatred on Sports Hub Twitter has just been fantastic. And as I said, it's like someone speaking a foreign language, because I'm not following the wrestling. I don't know what's going on, but I do know that when a group, when one giant unified all caps voice is pissed at the product that's being thrown out there, it's worth like taking a look and seeing what the hell's going on. Yeah. It's pretty bad, I take it.
So one thing that happened last night was they like debuted a mysterious like faction with black hoodies on, and they like burned down like the fire at the performance center. So it's kind of like, who are these guys? It was like really poorly done, like really bad. The problem is though, there's a competitor, AEW, and Chris Jericho is like running this thing at 51 years old, and he's kicking ass, and they love him. It's all, and somehow they're able to develop new characters where WWE has a problem with it.
Okay, but someone just said, Ryan just tweeted us, he goes, listening to someone describe what happened on wrestling when you have no clue what he's talking about is like hearing a guy try to explain what happened in his dream last night. Yes, they were in the Bodeon, and they were druids. And so he said, oh, this is a great idea from Bruins Luchador. They should do a Royal Rumble, but throw everyone off the boat.
I love that a lot.
Dude, yeah. That's a great idea. Like, if you said that there was going to be, like, you know, 15 guys in a ring that was on a boat, and the last one that's actually on the boat wins?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I would tune into that. Hell yeah.
Have sharks in the water. You know, get out of the water quickly. Yeah.
Listen, Vince or Shane or whoever those people are in
charge.
Triple H. Whoever's listening, whoever running the stupid thing, you call us. All right. Luchador. I'm not even going to take credit for that. That was Bruins Luchador right there. What a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Now that's inspired. And you know what? Because half their stuff is pre-produced now anyway, and it's like a dumb movie. So now, I do not mean to insult your, I will not yuck somebody's yum, as my mother used to tell me when I was a kid. Don't do that. So it's not a dumb product. This is something that they could do. Like, they could produce that where you had all like these like 12 dudes on a boat and the last one actually on the boat wins. That would get you got to admit, that would get eyes on the damn TV. That would get pay-per-view buys, would it not?
It would. I think right now they're just, you know, with no fans, they're riding it out, man. They're just riding it out. We're all insulted about it. We're insulted.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that is, I don't know why they're not trying, because they could lose it. I mean, that thing could easily go out of business, right?
No, there's too much stock involved.
Well, AEW has a national TV contract, right?
They do with USA.
Yeah.
WWE's fine. They're not.
They just lost a ton of money with the XFL. And by the way, I guess this whole Dwayne The Rock Johnson buyout thing isn't quite like clean. I mean, I think that there's some sort of issue that somebody has with it. And I don't know what it is. But and by the way, that's a waste of money as well. But we'll talk about that later. But I mean, we saw the WCW went from being like the hottest thing in town to all of a sudden being out of business. Yeah, in no
their
time
issue flat. Was they had guaranteed contracts. WWE does not. So,
okay. So they screw over their employees is what you're saying.
That's what it sounds like to me.
There's a lot of
successful for a while. It's like the NFL, you know.
Yeah, it is actually.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about some real sports. But I love it when you guys get fired up about the wrestling stuff. And I do think I'm going to have to go and listen to Inside the Ropes, because I guess it was.
Oh,
like
Jason was pissed. He was just yelling at Sarge.
Can we play some of that today?
You know what? Mike's not in this morning.
Oh, okay.
If maybe Nick would be able to listen to some of it, maybe, but we'll possibly. All if right. not, we'll listen to some of it tomorrow, but we'll definitely have Fair to enough. Explore this and see if it's any good. But in the meantime, let's get to everything that happened last night. We'll talk about the mystery behind Tuukka Rask's absence. Also, the Patriots are looking at a certain veteran to possibly bring in to kind of shore up some of the holes on this team. We will get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Real quick. 95 is Sports Up. It's Toucher Rich. Real quick, I just have to read this tweet because I don't know what it means, and I don't know if there's misprints in this. But somebody on Twitter said, ask Joe about the Boner Yard match that took place this weekend between Sex Ferguson and Chad Too Bad. You'll want to hear about it. How much of that is misprints and how much of that is real?
I heard about this. I would Google it is what I would do.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay. Hang on. What are the names again?
I'm going to do that right now.
Sex Ferguson and Chad 2BADD. Okay, so I don't know what's going
Google
on.
It.
Okay, I mean, maybe I'll have to do that in a little bit. I can't Google it now.
Oh, I can. Hang on.
All right. I just saw the name of it, and
it was
like,
on
I don't know.
Fight TV this past week.
What is Fight TV?
It's like a... like a pay-per-view channel for certain, like, boxing and MMA. And
okay.
Oh.
And there's really, a wrestler named Sex Ferguson?
Yes.
And Chad what?
Chad Too Bad.
Okay. Just tell me what's going on. You know what I mean?
I didn't watch it.
What's the story? Does one of them have an eye patch?
Yes.
Oh,
I think it had something to do with, remember, all right, so if you watch the Bone Yard match, Sex Ferguson is Luke Gallows.
Okay.
And Chad Too Bad was Anderson. So Anderson Gallows were the two other guys that were with AJ Styles during the Bone Yard match. And they did like an Undertaker impression. It was basically a knockoff of the Bone Yard match.
Southpaw Regional Wrestling?
I couldn't tell if this
there was a
like
social distancing battle royal. What else? Just I heard about this. I haven't watched it. I've wanted to look into it, and I'm glad someone brought it up.
It just sounded like something that you, like, I didn't know if it was a porn or what. I was like, what is
no, it was
God?
It was real.
She looks like a pirate, this guy.
There was a contract on a pole match. I know that.
What was the social distancing Royal Rumble?
he's got a do-rag on. He's got a large earring. All he's missing is like this big sword. He'd be a swashbuckler, this guy.
All right. I just for some reason just that sentence alone was worth exploring. I had no idea what was going on then. Yeah.
All right.
All right, and Chad, too bad. Well, the good news is, how did I miss that? That seemed like the pop culture event of the weekend. Well, the good news is the bubble continues to work everywhere. It's been working for weeks with the MLS. For several weeks, it's been working with the NBA. And yesterday, the NHL announced zero positive COVID-19 tests during the first week of the bubble. Meanwhile, in baseball... Well, we'll get to that in a bit because it's not working quite as well. But as far as the Bruins on their quest to right the ship after their lifeless performance on Sunday, well, things are looking better now that we know that Tuca, fortunately, wasn't out for COVID-19 reasons. Well, actually, he kind of was in a way. So on Saturday, this is really weird. Tuca, like every other player in the NHL bubble, he had to answer a bunch of questions on an app that's given to each player as they arrive. There's a series of questions that the players are required to answer every morning. One of the questions was, do you have a cough? And Tuca said, well, yeah, I got a little bit of a cough. And he clicked yes. And that is when all hell broke loose.
Yeah, I had a cough, so I just clicked yes on the app, and then all kinds of red lights started blinking, and I was quarantined for 2 days. They wanted to do two negative tests after that, and that's it. So now I was back today.
All right. Well, Rass said his two tests did indeed come back negative, which allowed him to return to practice yesterday. He said he still has a little bit of a cough, however. But it just goes to show you how hypervigilant the NHL is about keeping this bubble safe. So I guess that's a good thing. However, I can see Chara starting to grab everyone's phone. The only answer is no. Do you feel pain? The answer is no.
Chara only has so many years left.
Right. Do you feel shame as your enemies are crushed before you? The answer is no. Do you fear the rowdy roosters of Canopy Lake Park? The answer is no. You see, the only thing that I hope the league is not... I don't know if this is the case, because I didn't know about this app till yesterday. I thought that was an interesting thing to learn, but I hope that that's not... The whole league isn't just dependent on people's word in order to get a test, because, you know, you could be COVID symptom Dave before Game 7, and no hockey player is going to answer yes to anything. You know what I mean? So I do believe that they just... even without this app, continue to test you on a regular basis. But thank goodness for Tuukka and his honesty, I guess. I mean, that's kind of a whole weird thing. And I wonder really how many players now are going to, if they just indeed have like the sniffles or a small cough, are going to answer yes on this. And, you know, I know Tuukka was just being honest. And I guess if you're going to kind of learn about it, then it's good to know it at the beginning of the season. But that's interesting. I'd like to see all the other questions on there. Also, Patrice Bergeron, he did not skate yesterday, but according to Bruce Cassidy, it's just a maintenance day for him.
Maintenance day. That's it. He's fine. He'll get back on the ice tomorrow.
Thank you, Bruce Cassidy. Also, the quality of the ice, that has been a concern. I know a lot of people are talking about it in regards to their performance on Sunday. And with so many teams, I mean, it was going to happen. You had a bunch of teams on the same ice in the middle of the summer. And that's something that I think a lot of people knew was going to be an issue. And Cassidy actually addressed that yesterday as well.
Listen, it's the same for both teams. You know, they finished a play at the end of the second period. The ice wouldn't have been good. Nice shot by their D-man, stepped into a hole. So you can still make plays out there. You can still shoot the puck. It's just you're not going to be able to string probably three or four like you might be able to. The one-timers will be a little bit hopping around. So I expected that this time of year, that many strong, powerful skaters on the ice over the course of 12 hours or whatever it works out to be is going to do some damage no matter how good the ice crew is. So that's just something you have to have a mindset going in that.
Now, one thing that is worth worrying about, however, is that yesterday's Eastern Conference round robin game really couldn't have worked out worse for the Bruins.
Marzeller in good defensive position, kicks it away, but he's stripped at center ice by Point. Quick counter into the cap zone.
Too many men on the ice.
Here's Kucherov left circle. They're getting him for a penalty. Kucherov shoots! Score! What a finish from Kucherov! Well, there was going to be a penalty called on the Caps. That is now washed out. Because Kucherov scores, it's 1-0 Lightning.
Oh, how I miss Dave Mishkin and his screaming and Phil Esposito and his not paying attention to the game most of the time. I guess Nick tells me that this clip right here, Phil Esposito just gets pissed. Hang on. I guess this is during a fight in the Lightning game yesterday.
Doshi cross-checking Gordon in the back.
Yeah, and they're tied up. We're going to get penalties. They dropped the gloves, interestingly.
This is the referee's fault. No doubt about it in my mind.
Gordon Oshie grappling with one another. Both guys have the right hand free.
Whoa.
Oh, Gordon got a good right in on Oshie.
Yeah, but this was created by the stinking referees. They just do not want... I don't understand it.
All right, both guys kind of grapple at the end of the fight, and they are separated.
Look,
it's 2-0 Lightning. Yeah, a couple of cross checks by Oshie to Gord, and then they decided to fight.
Yeah, now, do you think
you need a crowd, Rich? I'm sorry, you need a crowd. I mean, the description of the fight might as well be like a book reading in a library.
Well, I mean, at least Esposito was paying attention. Now, do you think he was angrier at the refs than he was at the whole climate change people?
I think back when I was a kid, 12 years old, it was 1955, 56, 54. It was hotter than hell in the soup.
That's right. So yeah. He loves the climate change people there. Big fan of them, as a matter of fact. He loves the...
That's stupid. What's wrong with those people?
That's right. That's when he was on that political talk show, Mr. Phil Esposito. But it's not good because the Lightning won in a shootout against the Capitals. 3-2 is the final score. That is pretty much a worst-case scenario for the Bruins' hopes for the number one seed because of the tie. Boston is now the only team in the round robin with no points. So it goes Philadelphia's got two, Tampa Bay's got two, Washington now has one, and Boston, of course, is at the bottom with no points. So, I mean, the Bruins, when you take a look at the rest of the round robin, they now need to beat Tampa Bay in regulation tomorrow. Hope the Flyers lose to the Capitals, but beat Tampa Bay. And then there's a bunch of other stuff, but it really isn't looking good for them getting the one seed. It worked out horribly yesterday, to be honest.
Ultimately, Rich, after watching the way they played in their first game, it's not about that anymore. It's about them playing well. And I told you, Rask is going to be back Wednesday, and he is. Mm-hmm. And Cassidy got really angry, which means the Bruins are going to play well. I don't know if they're going to be Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's a really good team, and they may lose, but I want the Bruins playing well when the real stuff starts. And whether they finish first or not is kind of secondary to me. Sorry, Joe.
No, I got a little angry yesterday. But zero. You just said 0 points. They played Tampa Bay and then Washington.
Yeah.
Like this. Everything is awesome in Bruins land for everybody. Like, things are not good here. Like, they were the best team in hockey this year. And now they have to go through this round robin, and they're at a disadvantage. Like, I don't know. I just feel like they're going to be fine. I took a rasp back and out. The coach is mad. Everything's just going to be fine.
If they go out and lay another stink bomb on Wednesday or tomorrow afternoon, then fine. You can – I'll come – we'll both come
in.
We'll rant and we'll rave and we'll say, boy, do they suck. What the hell happened? It looked like they got hit by a truck yesterday. They're not ready to play. If they go out and lose 4-1 and the fourth line produces their lone goal again and Tuukka Rask is awful, then you have free reign to come in here and I'll help.
Okay.
Say, let's get the pitchforks and let's storm the castle.
One thing I wanted to bring up, so in betting terms, 24 of 28 games have gone under the total. Scoring is down.
Wow.
Big time. So, do you think the Bruins are going to create scoring? It's down all over the league right now. So if you're a better out there, unders.
Unders. Well, once again, you're going to hear that game at 4 p.m. tomorrow night right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. All right, when we get back after Joe Murray's headlines, we'll talk about the Patriots and the veteran they got their eyes on to hopefully fill some of these holes from the guys who are opting out. We'll get to that right after Joe Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich, and after having more players opt out than any other team in the NFL, the Patriots now know the official last day to inform the league whether or not they will be playing this season, and that date and time is Thursday at 4 p.m. I know that you had some issues there. Devin McCourty was upset that the NFL tried to move it up. And then the NFL was saying that there were players trying to exploit some sort of loophole in which they would opt out of the season for COVID reasons before they were even able to get cut, which I thought was kind of a savvy move. Like, if you thought you were going to get cut and you opted out, you would still get some sort of paycheck according to those rules. And it was indeed a loophole, but nonetheless, I'm on Team McCourty there. But with all those guys away from the team this season, Belichick, he does have some holes to fill, including at the tight end position where Matt Lacoste was slated to play. And right now, with two young options, the Patriots are reportedly interested in a veteran to help ease things in for the new guys. And that vet is Delaney Walker, 35 years old, looking for a home. This would be his 15th season in the league. He'd be there to help out Ryan Izzo, as well as the rookies Devin Asiasi, Dalton Keene, Jake Burt. It wasn't long ago, three seasons actually to be exact, when he was getting 60 catches and 800 yards a season, but he has been injured, missing 25 regular season games over the past 2 years because of a dislocated ankle and a fracture that he suffered in the 2018 season opener. He returned for 7 games last season, but was placed on IR. Delaney Walker, you get your juices flowing, guys? What do you think?
He's as good as anybody else at this point. And when we were talking with Jeff Howe pointed out, and I think you did too, Rich, that this team needs a veteran presence. And Jeff Howe brought up Algie Crumpler, who I think his last season in the NFL was with the Patriots, and I think he was 33 or 34 when he was here. But he helped a younger group, and that's what this team needs. This team needs a veteran presence. It was Benjamin Watson last year, and you know Watson was on his way out. Watson, I think, is basically the same age as Walker, and Walker's not here to catch passes. He's not here to make an impact of any kind on the offense, but he is here to teach the kids what they need to do, and I'm fine with it. And, I mean, if there is a bidding war, which there shouldn't be considering his recent history, but if there is a bidding war, Patriots can afford him. They have more cap space, a lot more cap space than they did a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you talked about Algie Crumpler and helping out the young guys. I mean, that was the Gronk Hernandez.
Yeah. He had six catches. 4 of them were touchdowns that year. Crumpler blocked a lot. He became the third tight end, and he was a mentor. That's what he was.
But again, in this, and you're right, Crumpler was certainly worth having that year. But this year, with the tight ends that they have and with the offense they're going to try and run, they don't need Delaney Walker's not a blocker. He's always been a pass catcher where blocking was second.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, they just need him, and there aren't going to be a lot of balls to go around because they're going to get the rookies involved. They just need him to teach people.
Yeah, you mentioned, does he get the juices flowing? He does. For me, he does. This guy's had 100 targets. I'm looking at it here, almost four years in a row. The injuries have been a thing. That ankle is a legit issue.
And he's 36.
And listen, but these guys stick around. Reed, who's had concussion history, is a good, really good tight end. He's off the board. He went to, the 49ers yesterday. But that guy has concussion issues, so it's like you can't even if Delaney Walker can be healthy, he could be at least a distraction in the middle of the football field.
And the thing is, too, think about it this way. Like, I wish the best for Matt Lacoste, and I respect his decision, but I'm kind of glad he's out of the way because we kind of knew what Matt Lacoste was. These new guys, I'm kind of excited about because from everything I've heard, I mean, the legend of Dalton Keene, everyone talks about all the crazy stuff he's been. And then there's, you know,
Devin Asiasi can block and catch. The problem is that these guys are probably going to see 20 to 30 catches.
Okay, but at least it's something new, and it's something fresh out there,
and it's
not
an
something
upgrade.
That we've seen before.
It's a massive upgrade from last year.
It really is.
Sure, yeah, and that's why Lacoste seems like a nice enough guy, but I am kind of glad he's out of the picture because we kind of seen a little bit of that. I want to try something new. This is kind of the season for that. I mean, everything that's going to be out there, new quarterback. I mean, you're going to have a whole bunch of new pieces, obviously on defense because of all the guys who are opting out. I got no problem with experimenting this season. What I don't want to see is more of the same from last year because that was just the definition of mediocrity. Now, someone who was not very mediocre when it comes to wishing them happy birthday, that would be Julian Edelman. He had to speak up and let the world know that he does indeed know Tom Brady still, because it was Brady's birthday. He posted a picture of the two of them hugging that said, "Brothers, always happy birthday, old man." And since that moment, Julian has been refreshing his Instagram every 3 seconds, waiting for a Tom Brady reply while covering himself in lipstick and listening to Adele. I was thinking about this the other day. So you know how the NFL Network does their top 100 players countdown? You know, I honestly don't really care about the ranking, but I know players do. And we've seen, obviously, Patrick Mahomes. He was upset that he didn't get any higher. I think he was number 4.
Third
quarterback. He put, taking notes or whatever. Well, Julian Edelman did not make the top 100 this year. And listen, as much as we rag on Edelman for being somewhat of a cheesebag, That's ludicrous.
Yeah, that's just a chip on his shoulder for sure.
Well, good, because just last season, I mean, as mediocre of a season for, as a whole for the team was, Edelman was great.
Yeah, he was in the 90s, I think, ranked last year, low 90s, something like
well,
that.
Well, no, I'm not talking about where he was ranked. I'm talking about how his production on the field last year. Like, he had 100 receptions, a little over 1,100 yards. As a matter of fact, I think the 100 receptions were like the second most in his career, and it was the most yards ever for his career. So I think the reason, and I was thinking about this, I honestly think the reason he was ranked where he was this year outside of the top 100 is because he does so much to attach himself to Tom Brady. The following him around, the Instagram posts, the t-shirts on his own website begging Tom to stay. I think he does so much of that that the voters have just started to think, well, since he's so dependent on Brady, I guess he's just not that good anymore now that Brady's gone. It's almost as if Edelman went so all in on wanting the world to know that he was Brady's guy that people don't value him as an amazing receiver on his own, which he most certainly is. It's like Edelman has absolutely shot himself in the foot reputation-wise because of his obsession with Brady. And I was thinking, I mean, now all of this could change. This year could change all of that. If he ends up putting up numbers like last year with Cam Newton, oh, absolutely. It would be the best thing for his league-wide reputation. There's no question. I mean, you can't deny. Like, if it were two different quarterbacks and one that's not Tom Brady that he's been a barnacle to, if he gets out there and catches 1,100 and he gets 1,100 receiving yards, oh, my God. And he could. And we talked about that once again with Jeff Howe, because with all that doubt at tight end, you're going to see Julian getting fed the ball more than usual.
Well, that was last year, too.
It's true. But he got 1,100 yards. But it's going to feel different with Cam Newton, because he's just done so much to just be like a face hugger, like the Alien movies, you know, to Tom Brady, that it's almost like as soon as he's gone, Julian Edelman, just because he did so much of that, it's like people just immediately associate that they have to be together or they're not valuable. Whereas Julian Edelman's like, dude, his numbers are insane. Like, he's still like an amazing. I mean, look what he did last year. But like, to be out of the top 100, I guarantee you, it's just because he did so much to attach himself to that guy. That the minute he's gone, everyone in the league just kind of wrote him off.
I worry about Edelman and his age and how much punishment he's taken. And he's taken a lot of punishment over the last 7 or 8 years running the middle of the field. We saw it with Wes Welker. I mean, he and Welker are the same guy. They catch balls in the middle of the field. They're not big. They get crushed by linebackers, you know, 5, 6, 7 times a game. And their skill is to hang on to the football. Edelman is going to be 34 this season, and that's right about the time where Welker started to go sideways. I worry that, you know, and you're right, he has a lot to prove this year because he's been Brady's guy forever, and I hope he succeeds. I just worry that we're right here at the tipping point.
And I was going to bring that up. You know, I sent it in the email, but even Jeff Howe said it yesterday. He'll probably see a lot of targets this year, just considering that's what Cam Newton always looked at, checked down. Would they consider possibly restructuring his deal and having him finish his career with the Patriots? He might be one guy that, and I know like people get nostalgic, Brady didn't stay here, so whatever. But like, this is a guy I don't want to see play elsewhere. I actually we crap on Edelman for all the stuff he does. He's a good football player.
Obviously, I've said that before. This dude is, he can't help but being a cheese bag. But I mean, he's a really, really good asset.
Probably the toughest guy on the team. He's probably the toughest guy.
There's no questioning how tough he is. I've seen him take hits and get up, and I'm like, there's no human that should be able to walk after that. Now, I don't know whether he knows where he is after that happens. And we've seen that with Welker before, too. I mean, Welker was the king of that until Edelman came here. I think I've seen Edelman take way worse hits. I mean, Welker's taking some bad ones. But, I mean, just the sheer volume. And you're right, at this age, but it hasn't slowed him down.
No. But this is the year. This is my point. There's a lot going on this year. This is the year to watch. He doesn't have Brady throwing him the football. The age is a factor, and his contract is up, not after this season, but after next season. But they can get out from under his contract after this year. So this is the year that will decide where Edelman lands, whether it be on another team, whether it be retiring. I mean, and if he gets hurt again this year, I mean, that's a track record and a half. So, I mean, this is the year, make or break, for Julian Edelman.
All right, we'll be right back. And the number two seed for the Celtics slipping away. And Derek Jeter is the worst liar that I think I've ever heard. He might be the worst person you'd ever want in a witness stand. We will examine his press conference yesterday as he tried to justify why his Marlins players weren't indeed outgoing to a strip club in Atlanta. We will get to that right after all this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Up, it is Toucher and Rich. We'll get to this Derek Jeter stuff in just a moment. But first, I saw this. This was not a Bankroll Boys email, but I saw this yesterday about the odds of who's going to get Antonio Brown. All this stuff is finally getting... Antonio Brown obviously is a jackass. And what he did and when he left the team and all of that stuff was bad. But he did kind of get screwed by the NFL and how they dragged their feet in giving him some sort of suspension or some sort of judgment on how long he was going to be out of the league or how long he would have to wait. And finally, just this week, they ended up saying he was going to be suspended for 8 games. So any team that ended up signing him would have to, if they signed him before the season, they would have to wait 8 games for him to be there. Or if, you know, they signed him later on, the 8 games would basically start week 1. So he would be able to play in week 9. But I'm looking at the odds for teams to sign him. And the one team that's the leader in the pack, I'm surprised by, because it makes total and complete sense, but it's a name that I just hadn't heard out there, and it's the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're 2-1 odds. And you know what? Aaron Rodgers and Antonio Brown deserve each other. Let's match those two together, because to be quite honest, that might end up being the sneaky best storyline in the NFL this year. How to take those two personalities and throw them in Green Bay, Wisconsin with a brand new coach, and just let's just see what happens.
No, second year coach, but yeah.
Well, second year coach, but a guy who's got no respect for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's like, you know, that you heard them even at the beginning of the season, they were sniping at each other, and there's still a little digging now, and he's obviously pissed that they brought in a new quarterback. So, I mean, there's tension there already, and you've got a notorious prick at quarterback. And now, football-wise, it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could really use someone for Aaron Rodgers to throw to. But, man, if things don't work out, oh, that would be the most beautiful implosion. And they would both deserve each other, too, wouldn't they?
That's if he doesn't opt out. But I will say this, though. The best two back-shoulder passers I've seen are Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers. And, yeah, they would make that work. Maybe they'd chirp at each other.
Well, I mean, don't forget Devontae Adams is pretty good.
Great. He's great.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers does have someone to throw the football to. Now, if you put Antonio Brown on the other side of the field, that's pretty amazing. But I think you stay away from Antonio Brown. He is a special kind of crazy that I don't care what kind of culture you have. And Pete Carroll's like, oh, bring him in. We'd love to have him. You know, we're monitoring his situation closely. And I know that he and Russell Wilson, Antonio Brown and Russell Wilson have been working out. I don't care. You stay the hell away from that guy. He is one of the best wide receivers on the planet, but all the other stuff that he brings with him personality-wise, I don't think he's learned anything from the last year. I think that he is the exact same guy he always was, and he will bring that to a locker room, and he will destroy the culture
of your locker room inside of a month.
I watched the commercial for the new Hard Knocks yesterday. They put out a new teaser. And I was thinking about, oh, who's Hard Knocks last year? And just think of what's happened in a year.
Yes.
So this time last year, we were watching a preview for Hard Knocks knowing, wow, Antonio Brown is going to be on the Oakland Raiders. And then remember, by the end of Hard Knocks, he was off the Oakland Raiders. And then he ended up coming here to the Patriots. And then all that fallout happened. And then, of course, everything since then. I mean, what an absolute nightmare.
Rich, do you remember the cryogenic freezing of his feet? Do you remember?
It was great.
You remember it took a month for him to find the right kind of helmet and was like soliciting people to find helmets
and then
for him
he punted the
online.
Football
Do you remember when Oakland finally let him go and even John Gruden had had enough? He did like a victory lap in his backyard. I'm free. I'm free.
He secretly recorded the John Gruden phone call.
Yes, he secretly recorded the head coach's phone call to him. Why in the world would you want that guy? And that's just putting aside the possible sexual harassment and the beating of a delivery driver of a moving truck. I mean, why in the world would you want to bring that anywhere near your team?
You see, when I hear the Seahawks, which, by the way, are the second highest in the odds to land him, that makes sense to me. Like, the Seahawks, I'm like, all right, well, this just kind of seems like Pete Carroll will bring him in and everything's all hunky-dory and everyone's having a great time, and you do that there. But the Green Bay Packers, when I saw that, I was like, man, if you're going to have two, if you're going to have a team implode, oh, please have it be with Antonio Brown and Aaron Rodgers on the same team. That would just be.
It would be. It would be fun to watch from a distance.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Because they deserve each other. Like, let's get two, a guy who's a big prick and a guy who's, like, obviously more than that. I mean, Antonio Brown did some really bad stuff. And by the way, I love the people who still think that he's going to come back to the Patriots.
I mean, it's just like, didn't make the list of odds.
Like. Because Robert Kraft would never.
Not in a million years.
In a million years. Are you crazy? Like, you can't take a bigger flamethrower to the bridge that you had with his team more than he did when he left. Like, I mean, he got as personal as it would get, and there's still people saying, oh, so he's saying there's a chance. No. And he's still posting pictures of him on Instagram wearing, like, a Patriots jersey and all this stuff. We're like, dude, you were here for a minute. You know, it's like, you know, calm down with the whole Patriots connection there.
Do you remember when he said he wanted to join Brady in Tampa Bay? And Bruce Arians.
I love Arians.
I forget who interviewed Arians. He said, what do you think about Antonio Brown in Tampa Bay? And Arians said, nope. Coming here.
The Ravens are the sleeper there. They want him. Lamar Jackson.
Because he worked out with Lamar Jackson.
And that would be dangerous. I mean, that would be dangerous.
Now,
I hope he makes that team fall apart, though. That'd be the best part about watching that thing.
It would be, but he wouldn't. He'd be really good. And it stinks because I like Harbaugh. He's kind of a whiner at times, but he's a really good coach, and he obviously, I think, could handle something like that, which makes it scary. So keep him out of here. Keep him out. You know, take him to the NFC. I'm sure they would. I know, and also for that reason, there'd be a little bit of a stick it to you type of deal. All right, let's get to what happened with Derek Jeter yesterday, because that dude's the worst liar. I mean, he might have been a player that everybody loved, but as far as like running a team, this dude sucks. We'll get to that right after Joe Murray's headlines. No commercials, just Joe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.